SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Best of your day officially underway. It is a Tuesday. No better place to be than on the Sports Grid Network for Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. So many topics to hit, which includes the NBA draft we'll get into. What happened last night in the future of the Boston Celtics? Does that mean one more game in the future? And also for the 2025-2026 season where Jason Tatum, we're just expecting the news coming out, Kevin, maybe any time now that MRI confirms that we had a torn Achilles and away we go and so much more, which includes NFL topics where the Eagles are the apple of the NFL's eye because that's all people care about. When are the Eagles playing, Kevin, in 2025? And I agree.
Yeah, we've got a ton of Eagles games so far.
Love to see it. Love to see it.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know why the Eagles schedule is leaking so much. Like, the opening game of the season, that makes sense. But, do you think the Eagles, Nani, are going to be, like, by far and away the most on primetime team in football this year? Like, I'm not saying they won't be the most. They won the Super Bowl. Maybe they should be, but I imagine Kansas City, Buffalo, you know, Dallas will all still have Detroit, a lot of major slots.
Yeah, no, and I know where you're going with this too, but I just think that they're maybe giving the Eagles a little bit of respect coming off that Super Bowl season. They have a lot of superstar players, and it does hit where it's like, okay, we're releasing the Super Bowl champions because why? They're involved in opening night, and we're going to build off of that excitement here and give you some other marquee games that they have. And you know the NFL is always about innovation with making more money. And you know what? The Bears are an up-and-coming team. Throw the world champion Eagles with them on a standalone Black Friday game at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. It just makes sense. And also, leaking out the Packers game in Lambeau Field, prime time versus a team that you just played in the playoffs. It's almost like that correlation of, all right, just leak out some of those big games for the world champions because we'll get an instant response as opposed to, yeah, we know Baltimore's good. Yeah, we know the Bills are good, but we're going to give the due respect to the world champions right now and leak some big games out and build off of that. That's the way I see it.
But I think you hit on something there very quickly, Don. The notion of superstars.
Yeah.
If you rank what feels like the 10 biggest players in football, Philly has two of them. How many other people can say that? Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley, I think, are 10 of the biggest stars in the National Football League.
Damn.
Quite frankly, Don, if I had to list you the top 15, about 11 of them are birds. Jalen Carter, A.J. Brown. I mean, my Lada was singing with a country singer the other day I saw.
True.
But
Stapleton.
It feels like when I'm saying that they're two of the top 10, I'm playing that safe, right? Like, if you talk about the absolute faces of the National Football League, those guys are really high up the list. And I'll add this. I feel as if there's, at least with maybe Saquon, I know there was the thing like 3 weeks ago, whatever, we're absolutely not going to get into that. But, like, some people are tired of Mahomes. Some people don't think Josh Allen is as good. Lamar can split a room. The Saquon Barkley stuff's pretty straightforward. Fantastic football player.
Yep. Absolutely. And sort of that next season where it's like, okay, opening night, Super Bowl trophy. Can he run for 275 yards against the Dallas Cowboys defense, which you know he's going to try to do. But everybody's going to be healthy in that game. Like, shot out of a cannon is going to be Michael Parsons. The excitement level certainly high. But also, the NFL adding that Friday night game opening weekend, it just hits like crack, man. It's beautiful. You have a Thursday night game, a Friday night game, the anticipation of that full slate on Sunday, then Monday night game, and maybe a Monday night doubleheader or a Sunday night doubleheader, whatever they might be giving us there for opening weekend. I love to see it, and the NFL is king. But I did see a lot of stuff also coming out on the restructuring of how many overseas games we're playing, and they're playing a lot. And I don't necessarily agree with it because of the time. Like, if you played every international game, Kevin, on a Friday night, I think it'll be awesome. Like, I love Friday night football, Thursday, Friday, into Sunday. It's fantastic. Like, I love the Black Friday game at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I think that's awesome stuff overall. But for me, I look at that. But there is a scheduling advantage, Kevin, that if I'm an NFL franchise that I might want to agree to in the future, because you saw them say, okay, hey, look, Minnesota's going to play back-to-back weeks overseas. Like, psh, they've done it before with the Jaguars, but the Jaguars, like, we stink, we're irrelevant. Can we just get more money by playing over there as many times as we can? That's what Shad Khan and them did for a while. Now they're a little bit more relevant, but the Vikings get that spot. But now the NFL is trading off of them saying, okay, you'll go overseas back-to-back weeks, which, you know, week number two is a major advantage because you're already over there. Ireland to London, not too big of a change here. I don't even know if it's a time difference of even an hour. It's probably not same time zone. Works out in their favor. But the trade-off, Kevin, is both of those are road games, which means instead of going to play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, you get Pittsburgh in a neutral site. That's a win for your franchise. Game number two is Cleveland. Now, who knows how good Cleveland's going to be? It'd still be a road game. That's now a neutral site game. The Vikings have all their home games, Kevin, and two neutral site games? That's big.
Yeah, look, I guess that's the reward, though, because there's still some uncertainty as to whether or not, you know, now, and they're really drumming it up, right? Like last year, the double London for Jacksonville,
yeah,
if memory serves, game number two worked their favor. I think they lost the first one of those games to the Bears, I want to say. But for Minnesota, the idea is they're going from country to country. Now, look, it's not, you know, I mean, the flight from London to Dublin is going to be next to nothing, quite frankly. So, it could work well in their favor. You talk, though, about key dates, Donnie, and this is something that you and I, and it depends, actually, if we're going to massively disagree on it. It really depends. The NFL trying to make every single day their day, I find very off-putting.
I love it.
And I know, hold on a second. I know that you've enjoyed them bullying the NBA on Christmas because you don't like the NBA's regular season. Right. I hate it, but I understand why I might be, I don't know if I'm in the minority, but I understand our disagreement and how we get there. The NFL bulldozing the college football playoff is a disgrace. It is embarrassing. It is detrimental to even itself. And we did it last year, and the NFL games felt irrelevant to the college football playoff. And it is something that nobody wants. And the NFL just forcing their way, oh, every day is our day. I'm telling you, it is going to backfire. It probably won't financially because Netflix and Amazon will pay a gazillion dollars and then it'll be their fault. But on December 20th, I want to watch round number one of college football playoff action. Not, oh, the NFL also grabbed two games on here.
You don't watch the Eagles on that day? What's wrong with you?
Are the Eagles the one of the December 20th games? Is that?
Saturday, it's terrible.
Yep.
Is it the Packers game? Who is that? I think it might be the
Commanders,
Packers.
Maybe.
Oh, Commanders, you're
Packers,
right.
Packers, Bears, Commanders. Eagles, Commanders. Yep. Is that what it was?
Yep. Eagles, Commanders in Washington, I believe it is, yes. But I say I can do it. I can do without that because I do enjoy college football on Saturday. But I just love, like, if you can get that international mixed into a Friday. There's the NFL's always done Saturdays, which, again, says, hey, college football, step up. Step up. Thursday night, Friday night, step up. Get off
what
that
Saturday.
What
do you mean Saturday. The NFL's going to have? The NFL's going to have? Hold on. How
That's
is it now that?
The Thursday night game's whack.
No. So But how is it now that you're telling me college football, who's laid all these plans, has to adjust to the NFL bulldozing into a Saturday? The NFL, by the way, is making it.
We can all work together.
No. It's very clear the NFL actually doesn't want to work together. And the NFL went, wait a second. We're not giving you that day. Where do you get off thinking you're getting that day? We're the NFL. Bulldoze.
The NFL bullies college football to Thursday and Friday night. We are such a better society, trust me, in December. You tell me I get
sense
Thursday
you're
night,
saying.
Friday night, or college football playoffs, Saturday NFL, Sunday NFL, and Monday NFL. Baby, we'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, more NFL. Wednesday, I believe tomorrow, is the full release of the NFL schedule, which, again, most of the big names out there. The only one that we're really waiting on now, which is the worst kept secret, Kevin, opening Friday night in Sao Paulo, Brazil, will be the Chiefs and also the Chargers in that game. I believe I read something like, well, YouTube wants to have an announcement themselves, so that's why they didn't release it yet. That's going to be the Chiefs, which is an awesome game. Eagles-Cowboys opening night, Chiefs-Chargers game number two, which will be on that Friday night. And then you head into the Sunday card, and away you go into the NFL season. And it's coming up sooner than later. Like, we're on May 13th right now. I'm already getting excited. Like, college football's coming up. Pro football's coming up. It's the way to do it and the way it is. So you see some of these. We're excited. Eagles favored by 6.5, I think, opening night. And also the Eagles are favored by 6.5 against the Bears on that that Black Friday game. And then the other game that was up, what was the other game that was up? 4 or 5 point spread? I can't even remember what the other game was up on FanDuel at that point. But they'll start to leak through and have some fun. But we got a ways to go with that, too. So NFL talk, as it comes in hot, we get another release during the show. We'll certainly bring that up, but that's the way it is. But Kevin, last night, we are going to talk Knicks in just a moment. Tatum's injury, what that means for the series, the rest of the NBA playoffs. But I do want to talk about the NBA draft lottery. I was sitting there watching this night, and I forgot about it. I get a text from Friezo, like, it's starting, like, oh, he says, trust the process, which means I meant, like, the Sixers probably got the 13th overall pick, if that was possible with that text that I got. But it wasn't. Tuned right in and saw the numbers flip and saw the Sixers get into the top four. And then not realizing, once the draft was over, like, how low of odds that the Dallas Mavericks had until they said it, and also the San Antonio Spurs, and quite frankly, the Philadelphia 76ers at about 10%. I loved where the draft went. Now, outside of the Sixers, for my self-rooting interest, getting Cooper Flagg, I needed them to be in the top three because I think it's a three-player draft with special talents, let's just say. A lot of still good basketball players that are going to be drafted in the rest of the lottery, but that's where I thought it was. The Sixers kept their pick. It didn't convey to OKC. They got a top three here. But also understanding that I am so happy that Cooper Flagg is going to Dallas, not because Dallas made a terrible trade in the NBA and it's rigged and all that. We'll get into that in a second. But the fact that he's going to a franchise that has superstar players and should be a good team next year, loves it. The Spurs are going to be a fun team to watch for the next decade with Wembanyama. They get picked too. Love that. My Philadelphia 76ers already have superstars and an MVP, tanked out the rest of the season and did it perfectly. They'll get a talented player day number one. And the horrendous franchises all got left out in the dust, and I couldn't get enough of it. And I loved the way the draft went down last night.
Yeah, but don't you realize that that viewpoint is in a situation where, Donnie, then those teams are going to stay forever terrible?
They're always
Why is terrible. That good?
Because they're going to waste good talent. Like the Lakers, Kevin, when they're
in
down.
In the 90s, Donnie, the Utah Jazz were in the finals multiple.
Correct. But so were the Dallas Cowboys. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
okay,
like
yeah.
They,
the Dallas.
They have been irrelevant since Stockton and Malone left, a putrid, irrelevant franchise that nobody cares about. Why should we waste talent on them just to leave in 3 or 4 years?
No, but the idea, Donnie, is with a draft, right? The reason why in the NFL it's scaled the way it is if you is to give everyone a chance to at some point be competitive. So you're telling me that your hope is that there are at least 6 to 9 teams that literally 25 years never have a chance to even think they can win a title?
Yes.
I don't understand why that's good.
Because I look at it and say this, like when the Lakers are down, it's better for the NBA that the Lakers are good. Give them Luka Doncic for free. Backhand deal, whatever it was, fantastic. Love to see it. Basketball is better when the Knicks are good in the big market and the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers and the Chicago Bulls. Like that's when basketball is at its best here when you get into ratings and the big cities and the big markets in. Everybody operates under the same, you know, restraints. Like the bird rights and the salary cap you have here and also the same lottery. I just didn't want to see a talent who I want to enjoy in Cooper Flagg go to Utah and have nobody give a damn about the Jazz for 5 to 6 years. And then he finally escapes and is able to go somewhere where he can be with a good player. The Charlotte Hornets, an abomination of a franchise since Grandmama back in the early 1990s. Horrendous. The Pelicans, you already got Zion. You ruined him. We ain't doing that again with Cooper Flagg. That's the way I see it here. I don't want really good, talented players going to wasted franchises. The Spurs will be good next year, impact talent. Dallas will be good next year, impact talent. Sixers will be good next year, impact talent. The NBA got better with that draft lottery last night.
Look, there's a lot of chaos that could come out of it. I enjoy the lottery from that perspective. I think there's a lot of questions around, will the Spurs trade the pick? Will the Sixers trade Embiid? Will Nico Harrison just, you know, flood the entire... Who knows what's going to happen? But the face of the NBA spent half of his career with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Superstars, Donnie, are superstars. The favorites to win the NBA championship are the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's just, I'm sorry, I find it to be a little silly that, oh, we're in a much better situation. Like, the NBA, Donnie, is much better off with Cooper Flagg emerging into one of the four best players in the NBA, whenever that is, than Cooper Flagg being a role player on a seventh seed.
No, but you're going to be, like, put it this way, and I always like to bring, like, I'm the common fan. You give me a good product, I'll watch it here. Like, I don't like the NBA in the regular season, but you give me a damn good product in the playoffs, Kevin, I'll watch. I don't need to see Cooper Flagg as an afterthought for five full years. I just don't need to see it. Like, nobody cares about Utah.
That doesn't happen. Like, Webby is not an afterthought.
Has anybody ever ran into a Jazz fan outside of Salt Lake City? It just doesn't exist. It's a dead franchise. Like, if you went with Cooper Flagg to Washington, what a waste, man. That is a horrendously just brutal franchise that if you would have given them Cooper Flagg and just wasted him into eternity. Same thing with the Brooklyn Nets. Thank God they didn't get somebody in that top here. Just wasting away when the Knicks are the franchise in that city. Like, from a business standpoint, and for me, getting excited next year, the NBA nailed it last night. They nailed it. Couldn't have went better for them business-wise.
See, but even that wasn't true because of all the things you listed, it would have been probably just better off if Cooper Flagg went to Chicago because the Bulls
have
been...
I
don't know. I still don't need... I also... But you also don't need, like, everyone condensed. Like, I don't think they need the Sixers with the third pick necessarily there, but I don't know. I think it's pretty tough that the three teams that have the worst three records, none are picking in the top three.
Barrett,
that seems pretty broken.
Cancel them, sell them, fire them off into the sun. We don't need them. They're all horrendous franchises. They got exactly what they deserve. Don't tank. Yeah, tank into the abyss, baby. Love it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody hanging out in the chat box here. Darren, Jordan, Aaron, everybody getting down with the business here at the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline, the best hour of your day. It is underway. We get that. Hot topics flowing. The NFL schedule release is coming up here Wednesday. That'll be done in full. Talking a little NBA draft, which I don't know how you perfect the draft per se. But again, if you are a team whose team stinks and didn't get a draft pick, understand why you're upset. But also, I just think for the business of the NBA to give the good teams even better players, that's what it's about. The teams want to watch dynasties. We want to watch Jordan. We want to watch LeBron James. We want to watch the Big Three. Those draw in the ratings and have superstar players added to teams that are already talented as opposed to bozo organizations. I just liked it, Kev. I just liked the way it played out. And I thought it made sense here. That's all.
Again, I found the results of it all really, really fun. There's a lot of fun stuff to talk about off of the NBA lottery. I'm just saying, I am not, if you're going to run on the campaign of I will have the Wizards picking outside of the top five
every time
for the rest of the franchise's history.
Yeah, they never get a first round.
Like, I'm not, commissioner. I don't think I'm going to back the stance there ultimately. But again, great lottery, historic lottery. You know, what will Dallas do?
Let me ask you, because we're going to get into Dallas right now. Let me ask you this question. Like, Nico Harrison has been put under the gun, and rightfully so. What an idiot. What a dope. Can't believe this went out. Like, if this leaked 10 hours before the trade, there would be an avalanche that would not allow this trade to go down, specifically from Dallas Mavericks fans. But as it turns out, Kevin, is there a chance that in 10 years we look back at this and be like, that was the best trade that was ever made in NBA history by Nico Harrison?
No.
It could have been.
0% like, chance.
I traded, Luka. We fell apart. We got injured. we ended up in the lottery and we got a generational talent. If it works out, like we're expecting Cooper Flagg to be a very good NBA player. We've seen a lot of very good, talented college players, but hey, he's already at the NBA level. But let's just say it works out. And in 8 years, the Dallas Mavericks have a trophy that they're holding up and Luka never won for the Lakers. Do we have to revise history and say Nico is one of the best general managers in the history of the sport? Do you have to do that?
Yeah, no, not at all. Not even consider it. I'm gonna try an analogy. Tell me if it works. I'm on the spot. Mm-hmm. If I could sell my home for $10 million,
yes,
and then proceed to sell it for $1 million, mm-hmm, and then that home floods,
yes.
Are people going to look back and go, it flooded, or it's like you literally got 10 times less than you were supposed to get? Like, ultimately, you got 10 times less than you were supposed to get. Mm-hmm. I do not understand why. Yes! It's on the record.
I'm looking
Donnie.
At Kyrie. Now I'm looking at AD. I'm looking at Flagg. Let me ask you this question right now.
Yeah.
If you were Jeannie Buss and the NBA loves the Lakers and they pulled her into a room and said, look, this can't get out. We're willing to do a franchise swap. You guys still stay the Lakers. They're still the Mavericks. But do you want to swap rosters right now with the Dallas Mavericks? Right they now. Would. Like not yeah. 5 years. Right mm-hmm. now. What yep. would the Los Angeles Lakers do?
They would stick with their roster. And they wouldn't even think twice.
Oh,
I truly don't know what planet you people are on. So, Donnie, how many games do you think Kyrie is going to play next season?
I don't know.
The answer might be zero.
Was it ACL? Or was it his Achilles?
It was his ACL, I believe. I think it was an ACL instead of the Achilles. So, Kyrie might play zero games. Mm-hmm. Let's be optimistic. Plays 20. Okay. Not great. Anthony Davis showed up for Dallas game number one, got injured in the fourth quarter. All right. I guess we'll see how that goes, mm-hmm. right? That's assuming that they don't end up just trading AD this offseason or trading Cooper Flagg this offseason. Ultimately, Donnie, they don't have a player on the roster better than LeBron. Forget Luka. So if you're just asking me for next year, it's not even close.
I don't know. I'm telling you. I think I'm still taking Dallas next year, the years after that, and beyond. What do we have for? How old is Giannis? Is 30 right now? He turns 31 next season. They talking about Dallas says number one draft pick. We're going to go for Anthony Kupo. Does that get done? Mm-hmm. Like straight up? Is that a straight up move you can make?
If I'm the Bucks, I'm doing it. I think I might be alone. The problem is you also need another thing to make the money work.
Yeah, you do.
So I think that's where it gets tricky.
It is. There's so many options now, so many fun topics here. We'll get more next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wanted to talk about ramifications of the draft and where that comes in. We're just anticipating that Cooper Flagg is going to be one and then probably the two Rutgers kids at 2 and 3. Things could change, though, from here to the draft. We'll see, but certainly not on Cooper Flagg. Yeah. But things are going to change tonight, Kevin. There's no doubt about it. The Indiana Pacers and the Cleveland Cavaliers, Denver Nuggets, and OKC. Nuggets and Thunder, winner of that game doesn't clinch the series either way, and we head back to a game 6 regardless of the victors there. The Pacers and the Cavaliers, much different here. But before, Kevin, we get to that, I just want to circle back to last night's game, Knicks and the Celtics. I thought the Celtics would win that game. I liked them to cover the 6.5 points. Looked awesome in the first quarter, second quarter, into the third quarter. Then the New York Knicks said, you know what? Watch our one-on-one game out here. Watch Jalen Brunson cook. Watch Bridges absolutely cook out here. Watch Karl-Anthony Towns cook in one-on-one. It was impressive to watch. It was a great victory for them. But Tatum goes down late in that game, which looks like he tears his Achilles. Forget about next year. Let's just talk about this series here. Boston's still a favorite in game number 5 as they head back. But you need breaks, Kevin, along the way, which means game number 5, if even the Celtics lost, would still be a tough closeout for the Knicks, 5, 6, and 7, because the Celtics are really good. Not going to be as hard without Jason Tatum, who's playing a phenomenal series and a phenomenal game last night. But understand this, too. You might be looking at the Eastern Conference Finals and like, oh, okay, well, they got to play the Cleveland Cavaliers. Doesn't look like they're playing the Cavaliers either. Is this the Knicks' magical season right now that's lining up for them to get to the finals? Because you need breaks, and they might get every single break you can get.
The worry for the Knicks is how painful this will be if it does now not result in a trip to the finals. Because, you first of all, now with the Tatum injury, here's the thing. The fact that we do not have word yet on the Tatum, we heard, Donnie, that Lillard tore his Achilles in like the third quarter of that game.
Yes.
Correct. Right? The fact that we still have not heard word on Jason Tatum tells me that maybe that's not what happened, but I don't think there's a world that the injury will be, like, I don't see how he plays in this series, right? Like, what planet is that the injury, right? Yep. So if the Knicks don't win this series, it would be one of the biggest failures that you could possibly imagine, but I don't really think that's on the board.
Yeah.
So then you look and you think about, well, what could be waiting for you on the other side? And if it is the Cavs, and they complete a 3-1 comeback, Cleveland will be favored in the series, but the Knicks will be, we just beat Boston. Boston's better than Cleveland. We can win this. We've been great on the road.
Yep.
If they lost, though, it wouldn't be the most devastating thing. If the Knicks have their season ended by the Pacers for the second season in a row, if they have their season ended by Tyrese Halliburton for a second season in a row, it is going to be so devastating. Like, I can't think of something that would be, you know, outside of them feeling like, oh, we have this in our hands and, you know, our star player goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do the research when the matchup is set, Donnie. But if I had to guess, I'll be on the Pacers in a Pacers-Knicks Eastern Conference Finals.
Oof. Yeah, look, it's going to be a fun series, not what the NBA anticipated. And also, I feel like we're getting robbed, too. Like, the Celtics are really good. They annoy me, though. The fan base annoys me. I like when they lose. I don't like when they lose, per se, because, as I always like to say in the tournament itself, and you know, NCAA college basketball, yeah, I love that they got knocked down. Like, oh, you know what would be really fun? Cavaliers and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you're not going to get that. Now, granted, if it was the Cavaliers and the Knicks, I would like it. I like the Knicks storyline. It's fun. The fan base is passionate. They got good players on there.
Yeah.
I just feel like you want the upper-level competition all the way across. And there's a chance that the New York Knicks now won't play the Cleveland Cavaliers and get the Pacers. And then in the finals, let's just say, in a dogfight out there, we might not get OKC. And it's like, wait, they can't beat any good teams, but yet they beat the Celtics. They don't have to go through the Cavaliers and might not have to go through OKC. Now, a lot has to play out, and OKC is still the favorite. I expect them to win tonight. We'll get to that game in just a moment. But for me, looking at that Celtics, you're right about this, though. You almost, as a Knicks fan, say, boy, you know what's interesting? Like, you know, Tatum goes down, which is a great thing. But what happens if we lose game number 5 in the Garden, they shoot the lights out? Then we come back home, the pressure's ratcheted up, and we lose that series. Like, I was joking with Ben, like, you can't even have fans left in the building. Like, the Knicks fans just be, you know what? It was never meant to be. I got to be a Nets fan. You know what I mean? Like, I got to look elsewhere. Like, we haven't won since 73. It's never going to work.
Can we talk about this, though, from the NBA's perspective for a second?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, I know we're now spending, like, a lot of people are spending a lot of time talking about the NBA fixing things. Yes. But if you're the NBA, and when the conference semifinals were set, and you were like, hey, what are the best possible finals that you could get? And you look, right, and it's Knicks Warriors, Celtics Warriors, Knicks Thunder, right? It's all these things. And respectfully, what would be last? Pacers, Wolves, Pacers, Nuggets. That's just, right?
Yep.
And the fact that the NBA is sat there and everybody acknowledges, okay, even the bozos, the NBA has had a resurgence post All-Star break, right? From Luka to the great playoffs. And the NBA, Donnie, if it is Pacers Knicks, and it's like, we are either going to get NBA Finals games back in Madison Square Garden and the New York market, or we are going to get John Halliburton unable to attend his son playing in the NBA Finals. Like,
correct.
They, again,
it's just like, what a great, you know, tip of the scales. What a seesaw. Either the absolute A-plus maximum outcome or their least rooting interest.
I'm telling you right now, like, can you imagine the NBA Finals or the Pacers and OKC? Two small market teams. Like, the NBA would be smoking, again, I was like Adam Silver, just smoking packs of cigarettes a day on that, figuring what he could have had at that point. Because they're always, their dream scenario is like Lakers-Knicks, Lakers versus Celtics, like historic, iconic franchises, big markets, the Bulls and Michael Jordan versus the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, those are the iconic matchups that we like. And we've had bad matchups over the years. Like, I don't care. Like, oh, bigger. The Nets getting in the Eastern Conference Finals and making the NBA Finals. Like, okay, Jason Kidd, and it is technically the New York market, but it's the Nets. And you're sitting there over the river like, you tell me the Nets are getting the NBA Finals and the Knicks can't get there? Like, you might have that on the cusp where that would be wild. And I love a passionate fan base. Like, we had CP the Franchise on today that we were talking to on the early line. And I just ask him questions about the game itself. It's like, I don't even care about that. Just tell me about your Knicks fandom and how, like, things are starting to open up where there's a pathway to, like, get to a championship round, which the Knicks seemingly never can get to. Like, understand like what's happening. It's like, it's day by day. The excitement level is there, but you always know at the opposite end, like, this isn't like the Knicks every 5 years make a run to the finals and every 10 years at least have a championship. This is the Garden, the mecca of basketball. They never win anything. It's like, let's not get ahead of ourselves right now, because even though we are the favorites now to close out the series, still got to get one more game. Then we got to win the Eastern Conference Finals and get to the finals. But just as a fan, like, New York City is ready to explode with the Knicks, and every win and every game they get, that just builds and builds and builds. But I do love pain, and boy, would I love to see a game 5 victory for the Celtics, a game 6 victory for the Celtics. And again, if the Knicks win in game 7, that's fine. But if that is the case, that happens, like, the meltdowns and the Stephen A. Smiths and everybody out of New York City, like, I don't know how you come back from it. It would be just too tough. It would just be too tough.
I am telling you. You can. I think JP is a Knicks fan, so we could ask him in the break. It would be way more devastating to lose to the Pacers in the conference finals with home court advantage than a Celtics 3-1 comeback. I firmly believe that. I'm not a Knicks fan, so maybe I can't win the argument if Knicks fans say otherwise. I'm telling you. Halliburton running around the Garden for a second straight year.
Yes.
Just throwing up laser beams to Andrew Nembhard. I am telling you, man, Knicks fans are not coming back from that one. They are not coming back from that one.
Like, let's just say, and they beat him in 7 games in the Garden, the Pacers, and Daddy Halliburton's out there holding up some towel with the sun on it.
John,
like,
Studd.
Showing it to Spike Lee. Yep, showing it to Spike Lee. Rumbles out there. Oh, tough scene, Knicks. I'm sorry we're doing this to the Knicks fans. Too much fun. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it, you're having fun talking about the Knicks, people, on the verge of victory. We'll get to those games tomorrow, but tonight, Kevin, doubleheader tonight. Pacers, Cavaliers, 7.5-point spread. Cavs are favorite. Pacers getting the points, 230 total. The question is Donovan Mitchell, so I'm going to ask you this. Game time decision is truly listed. How much of a game time decision is he? Because his points props are out, Kevin, about 27.5, which shows me that ain't really a game time decision. We're expecting him to play 3 minutes and dip out because his ankle's injured. How do you bet this game? Can you bet it early, or do you have to wait for the afternoon?
Okay, great question. For me, if Donovan Mitchell does not play, it changes everything. We all agree on that. And I think most would agree that if Donovan Mitchell is out for this game, it will move things quite considerably. So I guess the better way to put it is, Donnie, if they say, hey, Donovan Mitchell is in, your 7.5 at most goes up to 8, right? But if he's out, what does this become? 4? Maybe lower. I don't know if you think I'm going. You think I'm going too far? If he misses the game,
I think 5 would be the number if he misses. Because Kevin, I think it's hedged.
Okay,
I do. The opening line was 9.5. It dropped to 7.5 because we're not sure about Donovan Mitchell, and rightfully so. I look at it like this: like late in the afternoon, if we get that news, which I'm expecting, like Donovan Mitchell said after the game, like, I'm fine. Like, I'd stop worried about me. they tag him with a game time decision, which I don't want to say grain of salt on that, but I think he's more, he's less of a game time decision, as if I don't know if I'm going to play, where he knows he's playing and can function, but how, what's that high level? Is he 88%? Is he 98%? Does that mean I'll be fine, or is he 78%, which he can still play well and score 20 points, but just isn't all there? I do think this afternoon, Kevin, once we get official word, which I'm expecting, Donovan Mitchell is playing, that line goes higher.
Yeah, I agree with you. I actually am to the Donovan Mitchell confidence level of his number becomes potentially the best bet in the game of 27.5, Donnie. Averaging around 40 a game in the series, I understand it's a little bit different with some of the absences that they had, but I just think if he's out there, he's going to be fine. And I think you and I, we talked about this yesterday, and I think we saw it the same. Donovan Mitchell not playing in the second half of that game against the Pacers was more precautionary than necessity. They were down a gazillion points. So I tend to believe Donovan plays. Here's my, can I flip a different question to you?
No.
Just because I don't, sure. Well, maybe we will be on the air. Mm-hmm. Let's say Cleveland wins tonight by covering margin. So, what, you know, 122 to 108, okay? Yep. Donovan plays, gives you 30. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What is that game six line?
Still favored by the Cavs. What, multiple points at that point? Yeah.
I mean, that's Cavs pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It's like, because the Pacers have won in Cleveland twice. They just won a game by 20 plus on their home floor, up 40 at the break.
Yep.
And the books are just not going to shift that number a ton to where the series price, if Cleveland is able to win like they're supposed to tonight, you're looking at Indiana minus 150 going into game six, if there's a game six.
Yes. Look, I like, how do you play this out? Like, do you, because I think the Pacers have a legitimate chance to win, but I am waiting for Donovan Mitchell tonight. Like, for me, heavy public favorite on the Pacers, rightfully so. They're up 3-1. Mitchell's banged up. That's the prevailing notion right now. But that could change up till game time. Also, like, I don't want to leave the second game shortchanged either. Like, the Nuggets and the Thunder. For me, Kevin, I have no idea. Like, again, the Nuggets, you can't give them 10 points. Yeah, you saw when that happened before. They got hammered. Like, it's absolutely Hulk smashed getting all those points, 11 or 12 in that one game, which I think was what, game number two? I want to say where they got killed. 80% of the tickets, again, coming in on the Denver Nuggets, 10.5. This game goes two multiple ways for me. OKC wins, but doesn't cover. The Denver Nuggets win and obviously cover, or OKC by 35 tonight. Like, I don't have a feeling on this. I really don't.
I feel like at times I am watching a different series than everyone else. Usually, though, if I say that, I say it angrily and almost like, oh, I'm sitting atop my high chair and I don't know what's wrong with everyone.
Yeah.
It might be me. It might be me who is wrong. But Donnie, I watched these games and I legitimately think that the Thunder should have swept this team. I watch these games and I think to myself, OKC is just way better.
Yeah.
Nikola Jokic has now had three consecutive games of under 40% shooting from the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of people who feel as if the conversation is, well, if Jokic just starts playing well, okay, sure. But everybody else for Denver keeps stepping up in a way. Aaron Gordon is shooting 50% from three. Like, Michael Porter Jr.'s shoulder doesn't work. He had a game where he was like 5 of 6 from beyond the arc.
Yeah.
To me, the world where Jokic tonight, Donnie. So here's maybe the best way I can describe to people how I feel about this series. If you tell me that Jokic goes out there tonight, 35 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, people will go, whoo, Denver, up 3-2. And I would go, yeah, I'm still laying it. I have expected the Thunder to win every single one of these games by double digits. Now, they've only done that once, where they won by a billion. But I just think they are, the way they are disrupting Jokic, Denver cannot survive with him playing like this.
But tonight, what's one angle, Kevin, that you should be playing tonight in this game? Is there one angle?
Is it your guy?
No, it is. It is. Like when you hear me say I have no idea how this game is going to go, there's only one guy that's bulletproof in this game. Whether or not it's a good game, it's certainly up to, how well did he play? He still played almost 30 minutes in his last game and stunk up the joint, but still took like 12 shots. Like, it's Russell Westbrook. Like, I try to explain it to people. Like, they'll lose by 30, he gets 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. They'll win by 30, he gets 30 minutes. Those are the guys I like to factor on when I don't have a true feel for the game itself. He's like, blowouts ruin everything, even from like the winning side team. It doesn't matter. Like, he plays no matter what, and we certainly be energized. And the fact that it's in OKC again, I just love those angles. Like, you know he needs to turn up in that building because he just says, you know what? Used to be my domain. Let me make it again. 10.5, Kevin, plus 102 is his prop. No doubt in my mind, my boy Westbrook gets over 11 points here. How about that? One segment to go before we shut it down on the Tuesday. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big baseball card today, too. Full slate on a Tuesday. Good stuff. A lot of rain, though, in the Northeast, which could hamper a couple things, which always stinks.
Oh.
Yeah. Yesterday, not a good day here. Not a good day. Lost money on some team totals. Did some RBI stuff behind the scenes, won a little bit of money, but the numbers did not work yesterday. Now, here's the best thing about it, too. So, on the.
Wait, can I interject with a quick question?
Sure.
So, behind the scenes RBIs. Yes. How many guys, how many home runs?
It's funny. I think three home runs out of how many RBIs? Because here's what I've been doing behind the scenes, Kevin, which you'll like this at least. I'm betting one and two RBIs on every guy I take because the chances of you just getting 1-6-1, 7-1, and I got four of those last night. But I still only made like 15 total dollars. Betting light, but like 15 total bucks. But yes, like the nightcap was Cal Raleigh and Jorge Polanco going up against the Yanks. They scored five runs. Jack. It makes me laugh. Like, yeah, of course that's, exactly the way it went down. But yesterday, like I do like a quick handicap on the morning show. Like Ben and we'll go over like maybe two or three segments and pick out like maybe seven or eight games. And it's like, quick thoughts, quick handicap. So yesterday, so I'm just trying to bring up the notifications from yesterday that I had on those games. Doesn't look like, I don't know why it's not coming up. Let me just scroll down quickly. Well, anyway, let's just say there were four like clipped things that came out of the early line yesterday. Here they are. Ready for this, Kevin?
Which
I love the Red Sox team total yesterday, but on the show, I'm not really in depth to it. So it's like, okay, let me get a quick overview. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. So we clip it up, put it up. Yeah, Donnie says it should be over 8.5 runs. Tigers like do that by themselves. Red Sox get two runs. So that was a winner, but my handicap card at night was a loser because I had the Reds over 4.5 runs. So next up, which I really like this card, and I didn't bet it because I don't really like unders per se. Like, you know what? Phillies Cardinals, wind's blowing out yesterday in Philadelphia, but the pitching matchup says under. Under 8.5 runs I take, game ends up 3-2, that's a winner. Next one up was the Mets, who needed a comeback but got the victory at a minus 142 price, right? And the other one was, well, I really like the Royals. They should be able to hit going up against Kansas City. They easily go over the 3.5. Like, that's a 4-0, 5-minute handicap in the morning. And then my extended plays in the afternoon, I got beat on, went 0-3 in team totals. Like, that's the stuff I laugh at sometimes because, like, the generalities of handicapping are one thing, but, like, pressing the button on certain ones, like, I win fractions on the ones I give out in the morning, and then my full card at night gets hit over the head. And then behind the scenes, I'm not putting out the props, but I still won on those. But when I looked at the slate, I'm like, ooh, this, like, checks out really well. I'm like, how do the Red Sox have like one run after seven innings? It's the worst pitcher on the card. And of course, like, no, just take the over in the game itself. It won easy. But no, I lost money, as it turns out, on that game with the team total.
I still think that, and I know it is so difficult, but from our time going through your numbers,
yes,
that you are better off either being a two home or a home run or a two RBI,
yep,
or a four plus hit run RBI, whatever it is. I just think the way you are able to break down those numbers more often than not lend themselves to explosive outcomes. And I think if we're just kind of calling it, Donnie, I think a lot of the way that you were betting the NFL, and I know you were having success, was dummy down, three leg, make money, profit, move on.
Yes.
But I think that that is I don't think that that gets the most out of what you have at your disposal baseball wise. Now, you know more that better than me because you have all of that stuff, you know, right there in front of you.
Yeah.
But you know, you and I have been laughing for years now about how many of your guys have runs. I just
level up every night.
You did that though, right? Didn't you do it once for like, you gave yourself like a week or two maybe where you bet like nine guys to homer a night?
Yes. Yes. Like it was mixed with, it's so hard to like peg down a home run, but the more you like bet some of these, it's usually, it's not all or nothing because there've been nights where it's like, hey, I have nine RBI guys. Seven of the nine got RBI. Only one got like two RBI. I was like, why did you really, you should just, you know, got smart. But so many nights it's because again, the price points are crazy. Like, there were some games last night, like +180. And here's, you'll love this one too. By the way, I had Dansby Swanson last night, Kevin, and he ended up hitting a 2-run home run. So I get the buzz from Bet365. All right, you with the one RBI. I'm like, it's interesting. Maybe it didn't grade the two yet. But you know, I just didn't put in a Dansby Swanson two. Like the only guy of the night by accident was like an eight of like a +650 or +750 that didn't hit. I was like that's just hilarious to me at this point. But I do find myself, I think it makes a lot of sense because getting priced out of, Kevin, the hits, runs, and RBI market, it used to be to start the season, you can get three really good players at like a +110. Now you get three really good players at like a -125. It used to be two good players you might be able to get like a -125, like -150. Those markets are gone. So I'm trying to find some increased advantages, and maybe it just is the two RBI market. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie right side, and Kevin Walsh, thanks for tuning in to Moneyline. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.